of emails, well, not emails, comments that were given over the internet. Sister Marilyn Facker had said, excellent study, and thank you to the San Diego Ecclesia. She also said, Bill and I sent our warm Christian love to all those at the convention and also those online. And then Karen Earle had sent one in that said, excellent study. Thank you for sharing it with us. Warm Christian love to all those at the convention. And with that, Brother Tim, you open up the next service with a word of prayer.
Our Father in heaven, we humbly bow before thee at this time to lift up our hearts in praise and thanks for your goodness to us in so many ways. Indeed, we need thee every hour. Help us to draw closer to thee, knowing that thou art there and hast promised to draw close to those who seek to serve him in spirit and in truth. Now at this time we ask thy blessing upon our dear brother Russell Shulu, guide and direct his thoughts and his lips, and help us all to be attentive to thy word. Forgive us for our sins and shortcomings. We ask that thy spirit rest with each one of us here and with thy children the world over, especially those undergoing difficult times. We continue to long and pray for thy kingdom to come. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brother Russ, who is to serve us next, has a title on his discourse, Count Your Blessings.
And we-
Oh,
I neglected to give you the title.
Okay. Well, you, since you didn't have a close, we'll use Count Your Blessings with the close. What's the title?
The title is Threes, T-H-R-E-E-S, Threes.
Threes, okay. Brother Russ, the podium is yours then.
Can we open the Count Your Blessings, though?
Sure. Do you know the hymn number?
In the red book. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his love untold. Count your many blessings, money lift up high. Glory, glory in heaven, or your hope on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings.
Podium over to your brother Russ.
Thank you, Brother Keith and Brother Tim, for the prayer. The hymn, I think it was in the previous study, a sister had mentioned about counting your blessings, and since, as you will see, based on the topic of our discourse this evening, threes, I kind of loosely made the association of counting. You know, numbers, counting. You know. But nevertheless, we're delighted to be here with you again. We've been to San Diego over the years a good number of times and have enjoyed rich fellowship and many Thanksgiving dinners, at least in the past. And so we're very, very pleased to be here with you. We bring Christian love from the remnants of our ecclesia, which has shrunk over the years, the Rockland Bible students. And also very special greetings from Brother Paul Malley, who has very fond recollection of being here with you. And right now, Sister Mary is on her last days. She's non-communicative. She has Alzheimer's, and that, of course, keeps Paul at home. I think Paul would otherwise be out, maybe not to California. I'm not sure. He's got the enthusiasm to go almost anywhere. But nevertheless, Brother Paul wanted to convey his love. The Webbers, another family, that brethren that we meet with on Friday evenings for study, they convey their Christian love for some of you that may know them. And then finally, brethren from New Brunswick Ecclesia also convey Christian love. Having said that, I think we can start with the service. I was really debating what kind of discourse to give this evening, and I think it was yesterday or thereabouts, I finally decided that I'd try to craft this study. This was a study at one time, into a discourse, but I will be asking for your participation later on, and since you did such a fine job with Brother Tom, I'm hoping you can help me out as well. But to begin, we're going to give a 3-minute introduction, and we say a 3-minute introduction instead of a 2-minute introduction, only to keep with the theme of threes. So that's how we plan to start. I would expect most of you, to a lesser or perhaps greater extent, have noticed that numbers are very integral to God's natural creation. Much of what we observe by natural sight, from a mathematical standpoint, can be literally resolved to a series of zeros and ones. For those that are familiar, there's the rather celebrated Fibonacci sequence, which is manifest in nature in a variety of different ways, all really quite extraordinary and well beyond any of our I'll say, well beyond my ability to even comprehend it. But it's perhaps familiar to some of you in the shape of the shell, where you start, you have that beautiful spiral style appearance in a shell. It's also manifest in other instances in plants and such. But it's a mathematical observation that Fibonacci made, as did another familiar lesson that goes way back to high school or maybe earlier. The first well-known Greek philosopher, Pythagoras, in 570 BC, came up with what's familiar to us as the Pythagorean theorem, where you have the square of the two sides of the triangle are equal to the square of the hypotenuse. So he was one of the first to see that there is, as it were, a system behind these numbers. And of course, from a divine perspective, you can see how the Lord has done some rather remarkable things. And we'll just call to your attention a few things that really are quite astounding. And we're quoting a portion of this. He, that is God, made the atom with three parts: electron, neutron, proton, and used it to create a world with three parts: land, sea, air, all within a universe with three parts: matter, time, space. He created time with three divisions: past, present, future. He gave space its three dimensions: up and down, left and right, forward and backward. He created matter with its normal three states: solid, liquid, and gas. When he created life on earth, animals were created to live in three areas: in land, in water, in air. He made their survival to depend on three essentials: food, water, and air. The food providing energy in three forms: protein, carbohydrates, and fat. The water is made up of three parts: two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. And the air primarily consists of three parts: nitrogen, oxygen, and argon. Unquote. Now, most of us would also recall, even extending this a little bit further on, the so-called Linnean taxonomy of the natural world, though many of us wouldn't think of it under that terminology, but the three kingdoms: mineral, vegetable, and animal. Also, we find that the Earth is the third planet from the sun. Much of what we see by way of color can be reproduced by the three primary colors, additive colors of red, green, and blue, in the so-called RGB color space. And in photography, for those who, like myself, might indulge once in a while, we observe the so-called compositional rule of thirds. The significance of numbers is also manifest in numerology, where the letters of the Hebrew or Greek alphabet have numerical values, which, when added, are presumed to convey special significance. Now, one of the more notable examples that some of you might be familiar with in the context of the Bible students is the numerical value of the text of Isaiah 19:19, which, when added, equals the height of the Great Pyramid in inches. That's the familiar text: in that day shall there be an altar unto the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. But as peculiar, and I have to say it is quite peculiar, as all of this may be, and whether or not it's really meant to convey some special significance or not, at least at this time, it's clearly a small part of the whole in terms of what the Lord is able to accomplish. Of course, the far more important part is the spiritual sphere of understanding. For clearly in his word, numbers and chronology provide not only an insight into God's extraordinary ability to utilize things, persons, events, and measurements of time to craft enduring lessons that serve to build us up in the most holy faith, but it also serves to demonstrate that he is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. Now, in Scripture, it becomes readily apparent that certain numbers either have, let's say, by numerical occurrence in Scripture, suggest a particular thought, or still other numbers, let's say, by inference or logical deduction, must also convey a particular thought. Those numbers that occur frequently to a certain degree become rather self-explanatory. You know, you have 7, 10, 12, 40, 100. You know, some of these numbers are familiar to us. We think of them somewhat frequently as we study Scripture, and we draw, a lesson. Those numbers that occur less frequently may, upon careful examination, provide meaningful lessons as well. So I guess as a matter of a caution, I would say the best rule to follow, which should sound quite familiar, is what was established under the law. Deuteronomy 19:15, where it says, at the mouth of two, or again, three witnesses, shall the matter be established. In thinking how we would structure this discourse, we thought to first identify various instances in Scripture where the number three occurs. And I think you'll find, just as it was peculiar to note the frequency with which it occurs in nature, it is just as peculiar to note the frequency with which it occurs in Scripture. The citing of examples, we think, or we hope, will demonstrate that there must be more there than meets the eye. That there are, let's say, hidden spiritual lessons, things that are beneath the surface, not that we necessarily know the answers, and I'll emphasize that, because this discourse probably will open up a few more questions than provide answers, but we're hoping that it kind of broadens your scope of interest in terms of maybe pursuing some things on your own in terms of personal study. Then we'll be selecting a few instances where we see a pattern that is enough of a similarity between some of these scriptural accounts to suggest a prophetic lesson. And then finally, we hope to come up with maybe a simple working definition of what the number three might suggest. And we think this is not a particularly easy task, as you'll see as we get into some of these examples. So, again, we hope this study or discourse, because we are going to look for your participation, hopefully this will be a little bit of a catalyst for thought. So the very first thing is we'll basically be going to the Old Testament, and we're just going to kind of open it to the floor. I'll probably, for the sake, if you don't mind jostling with the mic, that's fine. Otherwise, I could just repeat everything. But I'd like you to consider, Old Testament now, instances where three occurs. And you'll be rather amazed just how many there are. Kind of staring you in the face, but maybe not always noticed. Anyone?
You got Adam, Eve, and the serpent.
Okay, well, can't discount that one. Maybe not quite as, I'll say, clearly apparent as other scriptures, but okay. That's a good start. It's early enough in man's history anyway.
The three Hebrews.
Okay. Yeah. The three Hebrews.
The three Hebrews.
Okay, so we have the three Hebrews. And that will be one of the accounts that we'll be looking at a little more carefully later on. But that's just a start. You know, we're just scratching the surface now.
The lesson we had this morning for the afternoon on Joseph in Genesis 40, verse 19, when Joseph is interpreted the baker's dream, he said, "And within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up my head."
Yeah. Three white baskets. He would be hung in 3 days. Keeping with Joseph, how many branches? Three branches. 3 days. And consequently, the butler would be restored in 3 days. How many days, staying with the Joseph account, were the 10 brothers imprisoned? Okay, that's a kind of a giveaway. 3 days. So we have a few there right away. Go ahead, brother. Oh, sister. And of course, we qualify that a little bit by saying parts of 3 days, but still 3 days. You know, that's crucial. Yep, keep going. You'll be surprised. Go ahead, Peter.
Then Jesus in the tomb for parts of 3 days. Yep. Of course, we have
parallel.
Oh, someone mentioned that.
Well, the parallel of Jonah, yeah, right. Which Jesus uses in his ministry. Three worlds. Good. Keep going. Many more. Keep going. For the bread. Yep. And that'll be another that we're going to look to later on. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Brother David.
Well, when you think about the three, about Jesus, you know, there's a series of three on different orders of magnitude. 3 days in the tomb. 30 pieces of silver. 300 pence of ointment during the first death. 3,000 people redeemed the bankrupt. They escalate, but they're all
threes. Yep, good. And that I should have mentioned that too. I'm glad you use that. Let's say multiples of three qualify as well. But clear, I'm going to say very distinct groupings of three. Sister Dawn, I think, will have hand up.
Gideon's band of 3,100.
Okay, very good. Lots more to go.
Jules Comforters.
Yep, okay. Not the kind of comforters many of us would want, but nevertheless, they're counted as three comforters. Brother John?
And the Father, the Son, and the Bride, which Satan twisted into the lie, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit.
Okay. Yeah, again, I'm going to say, trying to keep to the twist of Scripture where three is really distinct. I mean, we could say the three witnesses, the blood, the water, and the spirit, you know, that's another accounting there, but it doesn't, I don't think, use the word three. But keep going, Brother Tom.
When they sacrifices, the bullock and the two goats.
Yes, isn't that interesting? In the staying with sacrifices, how many holy days were incumbent upon the natural Jew? Three solemn feasts, you know, Passover, weeks, tabernacles. Yep. Brother Brent, and then for the...
In Joshua, the third chapter, Joshua brought the children of Israel to the Jordan, and there waited 3 days before they passed over, and that's generally accepted as portions of the fifth, sixth, and seventh, essentially the gospel age.
Okay, good. In the back.
Just from memory, but think of the dad right bow. Couldn't touch the dead or something, cutting air, and staying away from the fruit of the vine or fermentation.
Okay, I hadn't, that one didn't come across my radar. For the red again? Yes, and it's notable. I mean, you can, if you look up 3 days, you know, that worth in a, you know, electronic Bible, you'll find many, many instances where it's a 3 day period of time. It's very peculiar again.
Yeah, what you just said.
out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness to the bottom of the water.
How many, what period of time was Moses hid? Was Moses hid when he was born? 3 months. Yep, good, thank you. Brother David?
That's under the series in Samson's day. There were 3 days of Israel, 30 changes of garments, 300 foxes, and 3,000 of Judah.
Yep, very good. And that's only a few of, if you read that account, and like I say, I don't propose to have the answers on this, but read that account in Judges, and you'll be amazed how many instances of three occur. Those being, let's say, very obvious or very significant, but you know, there were the riddle. They were given 3 days to solve the riddle. The changes of garment, if the riddle was solved, were
30.
Yeah. There were companions that were there to prepare for the wedding, and also to the number of 30. So that particular account is like replete with the number 30. Anyone else? Brother Peter. Oh, sure. Yeah.
Isaiah, the 19th chapter, a kingdom picture, says, in that day there will be a highway out of Egypt and Syria, etc. It says, in that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land.
Yep. Very good. Peter, we'll stop soon because we want to get to the at least one of the punchlines.
I can read each of the
words. You can spare us. Brother David.
You got the consecration of the priesthood, the three items that were wasted, the wafer, the oil bread, and the unleavened bread.
Very good. Keep going. Just a few more. No. There's another one. Yep.
When the Lord was crucified, was it turned out?
Okay. Yeah, this just, it just becomes very, it's almost like I was using the natural illustrations because it just seems so peculiar. You have so many of them. Keep going. Yes?
Abraham's three wives, Hagar,
Sarah, and Keturah. Yep.
Excellent. When Abraham asked the Lord, by what shall I know, shall I inherit it, that is given in his confidence, that he can bring me the heifer 3 years old, the sheep up 3 years old, and I am 3 years old.
Yep, very good. I think that one might have been mentioned earlier, but very good. Yep, go ahead.
I mean, it was in Proverbs, but in Proverbs, it talks that verse that says there are three things that are too amazing for me, and three things that are never satisfied, but it also says four that never say no, and
well, yeah, there are some things, where I think Brother Tom had in his discourse, some of this we're kind of crafting to fit or whatever, but in Proverbs, another familiar text in connection with marriage, threefold cord is not easily broken. Yes. Maybe I'll let you go a little bit longer, but then we're going to have to kind of move on. But keep going, because there's really, believe it or not, many, many, many more to go. 400 and how many more to go? Yeah. Okay. Well, if that's the case, then I'll just mention. A couple of these will be those that we're going to take the time to just at least spend a minute on. In connection with the life of David, I'm going to quiz you. In the connection with the life of David, he had, as I recall, how many captains?
Three.
Captains.
Three.
30 captains. And then if you look up the word mighties, of those captains, there were three which are characterized as mighties. In other words, these seem to have been like David's closest allies, those that would be, as it were, supervisors, if you will. So in that account, I think there's a significance to the three mighties, and we're going to include that in our list that we'll call to your attention in a couple of moments. Oh dear, I'm just thinking about time as well.
You have 3 minutes left.
Thank you. I'll need a 3-minute warning at some point. Of course, the enemies of Nehemiah when he was building the wall, Sanballat, Tobiah, and thank you. Numerous. I'm going to just have to jump to the three that I want to talk about for the sake of time. But this is largely to open up an avenue of thought. And the three that we're going to, as soon as I find the page, look at it a little more carefully, are those instances where you have three, in effect, individuals that are identified. Three sons of Noah. I think many of us will acknowledge that Noah appears to be a picture of Christ. And the three sons would be clearly those that are closely associated with Noah in one way or another. There were the three Hebrews that were mentioned before. They were associated with who?
Daniel.
Daniel, a picture of? Well, I think Daniel, a picture of Jesus. The three bands of Gideon. Sister Dawn called attention to that earlier. Again, we think Gideon is a good picture of our Lord. And that these three companies of 100, which were culled down from originally 32,000, and then was it 22,000 left? You know, you think of that, that's a pretty staggering account there. And then from the 22,000, the Lord says, you know, that, or 10,000 that were remaining, the Lord says, well, that's, you know, we don't need that many. And it's called down to these three 100s. And it's very interesting. It's specific to say that there were these three groups of 100. We missed one of the earlier accounts of three in connection with our Lord, and this is a little bit by deduction, you know, we were saying before a little bit. Who was first on the scene in connection with our Lord? Deductive? Three magi or wise men, yes. You know, we assume three because of the gifts. So they were the ones that were wisest in connection with the prophecies concerning our Lord. Another thing in connection with our Lord's ministry that wasn't called attention to earlier, at least I don't believe so, were what? Among his disciples. Three favored disciples. Peter, James, and John. So there's a clear demarcation there. And they were privileged to be, let's say, separate from the majority of the disciples, the balance of the disciples, on several different occasions in connection with the Transfiguration. They were the ones there for the Transfiguration. They were the ones that were closest to our Lord in Gethsemane. There's one other instance there, too. That's
Jairus' daughter raised, they came into the bedroom.
Yes, thank you. Yep, if that needs to be on the tape, Jairus' daughter, thank you. That it was those three that were present there. So clearly a sense of, I'll say, special relationship between our Lord and those three disciples. Even in connection with the breastplate, you'll find that even the configuration of the breastplate is suggestive that there's a significance of the these, like, you know, three rows or whatever. Yes, go ahead. I had not made that observation. Interesting. Again, kind of food for thought. And then we mentioned, again, to keep kind of within this sphere of individuals, the three mighties. And these mighties are mentioned several times in the context of those accounts concerning David. So obviously this is not the type of lesson that is like a thus saith the Lord. Nor would we suggest that all of these accounts are like strict types, but they can have, even as the Joseph account, very marked antitypical lesson. You know, not necessarily, you can't follow every single thing in the account of Joseph and tie it in the way you'd like. I mean, Joseph was father to Pharaoh in the scriptures, so Joseph was considerably older than a boy Pharaoh. So, you know, some of these things wouldn't fit when you think of Pharaoh later on picturing God and Joseph, second in command, picturing our Lord. You know, some of you can't tie those details down so tight. You have to be a little bit flexible. But even with these lessons, we would say certain things very clear or clearly are meant to convey a lesson. Other things, you have to be a little cautious that you don't draw things too tightly. Of course, I think in principle, as we look at subjects like this, where you see see these patterns in Scripture, we do have license to look at them more closely. And I would suggest, and given the amount of time, we'll pass over quite a bit of material. Given the amount of time, we wouldn't get into each of these individual accounts concerning Noah's three sons, or the three Hebrews, or the three mighties. Because I think you can start seeing a pattern of behavior on the part of those individuals. You can look at the circumstances surrounding the lives of those three and start putting together, as we would, the pieces to suggest that prophetically, you can draw some very interesting lessons that these accounts are speaking of the end of the age. And consequently, when Isaiah says, in the familiar text to all of you, Isaiah 28, 9 and 10, it says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, a little here, a little there," I think it is. Yeah, and there a little, pardon me. So this is how I'd say we'd have the scriptural authority to start seeing that the Lord intentionally has done this in the context of Scripture to call attention to those that are paying attention, if you will. So if we hadn't expressed it clearly enough, we think these various characterizations of three, at least as far as those that are personified, represent the little flock, particularly the feet members, in certain of these accounts. And, of course, tying, as we were looking at the Noah account, our Lord is very careful to use that Noah account in his great prophecy. He says, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man," showing that that particular account has some very stark significance for us at this end of the age. And, of course, as you look at the Noah account, lo and behold, what happens when Noah and his three sons go in the ark? The door is shut. So it demonstrates that this is a picture of something that really is at the very end. The last point, if one is to be made, is what is the significance or the meaning of the number three, if we were to try to characterize it. And I'll give you my thoughts. I can't say that they're conclusive, but it does seem that three is used in the context of completion, but also accompanied by trial or duress. And as you look at many of the accounts where we've even already today cited, you'll find that many of those instances have some peculiar trial or trouble or duress associated with them. And consequently, we think there is something that ties those two thoughts together, completion under duress. And then, as a matter of closing and of interest of sorts, the number 144,000, the number 144,000 is the square of 12 times the cube of 3, 10 to the third power. So you see a 12 and a 10 and raised to the third power. So, you know, many of these things, I think the Lord someday will disclose what he had in mind specifically, but I do not think that this is a matter of coincidence. And on that note, we'll close, and as we said, there are probably more questions than answers, but that'll make you start thinking a little bit more. Thank you for your attention and participation.
Thank you, Brother Russ. If I remember correctly, you said you did not have a closing hymn. So, does anyone have a hymn they'd like to use for closing?
165.
Love Divine. This is the last discourse for the night, so tomorrow we start at 9:30, and there can stay around for some fellowship if you like. Brother Russ, can you close with a word of prayer, please?
Father in heaven, we're indeed thankful to thee for the privilege that we've enjoyed this day of coming together in like precious faith, for the privilege of having fellowship with our brethren. We are thankful for the provisions made by the host ecclesia, the sacrifices that they've made to make this possible. We're thankful to thee for thy word. Indeed, it is rich with so many lessons, that many of which we have yet to discover. We're thankful for the testimony of the prophets and the apostles and others of faith that have been manifest on the pages of thy word. And even think on the theme of those three that thou accounted as being extraordinary above all others in the book of Ezekiel, Daniel, Job, and Noah. May we, in some small manner, manifest a spirit and actions as they did, that we might be one day found faithful. We leave all in thy care and keeping, praying a blessing upon us as we depart, for we ask it through Jesus' precious name. Amen.